listening from wherever you are this morning. We just want to give you a warm welcome in Jesus' name to Chippenham Christian Fellowship. I pray that you will be blessed with your time with us this morning. And just good to worship the Lord this morning and give him praise, give him thanks. And we're going to just receive a message this morning from the Word of God. So I'm just going to prepare that, prepare your hearts for to receive that, to receive the Word of God this morning. I pray that God will speak to you in Jesus' name. So praise God. I'm going to take a reading from 2 Chronicles. So this book of 2 Chronicles, if you've got your Bibles with you, great. If you don't have a Bible, just listen to the text. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And this is all about the building of the temple. And David is saying to his son Solomon that it's important that you carry out this project, because God did not allow David to build this temple, although he wanted to, because he was a man of blood. He was a man of war. But this delivery was given to his son Solomon, and he's just giving him instructions about what to do and how to do it. It's pretty concise, and I'm just going to read to you from 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and reading from verse 20. David also said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." Amen. I'm going to be speaking about this passage this morning and bring out some of these truths and just encourage you with God's word this morning. When we think about this great project that Solomon had to undertake, his father gave him instructions. And the first instruction he gave him was to be strong and to be courageous and to do the work. And I'm going to talk this morning about being strong, about being courageous, and about doing the work of God, because he has got a great work for all of us to do. Just this morning, as we reflect on some of the battles that went on with Israel when they moved into the land of Canaan, one of the things that they had to do was they had to fight the various tribes that they were going in to possess the land. God had told the Israelites, he had told the Jewish people to go into the land of Canaan and to push out the inhabitants, sometimes to destroy the inhabitants, because the people had become a wicked people. And God was using Israel as an instrument of righteousness and an instrument of holiness to push out the wickedness. And they were doing wicked things in the land. They were worshipping false idols. They were sacrificing their children in the fire. They were doing some hideous things, and God was not pleased with the Canaanites. So God said to Israel, "Go in and possess the land. Go in and fight and do what I'm calling you to do. I'm asking you to go." And we see the same command that God said to Joshua through the words of Moses in Joshua chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 8 and 9. And he says to him, "Be strong and very courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And they have to pass through this particular gorge. And they had to pass through, and the very first battle that they had to fight was against the giants, was against the king Sihon of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan. And they were victorious over those giants, and they went into the land of Canaan. And the first place they had to go to was this place called Jericho. And many of you will have heard of Jericho. Its remains are there today. And it's right down by the Dead Sea, as I understand it. They went in, and it was a very, very strong city, very fortified city. And there's no way the Israelites could get into the city. The people who lived in there knew that the Israelites were coming. So they locked up the city. They had massive walls, and they were tightly secure inside this dwelling, inside the walls of the city. But God had said to the Israelites, "I want you to take this city. I want you to take it for the Lord. I want you to take it for me. And I want you to march around the city and I want you to go around it, and then I'll show you what I can do. So they marched around 7 days. And on the seventh day, I believe it was, they marched around seven times. And then the Bible says that the people shouted with all their might. And the Bible says that the walls came tumbling down, that they collapsed with the power of that sound. It was a shout of victory, you see. It was a shout of praise. And as they shouted, the walls came tumbling down, and they went in and they took possession of that city. You see, with God, all things are possible, friends. You've got to understand, with the Lord, there is nothing impossible. Whatever situation you're fighting, whatever situation you're up against, it might seem impossible. It might seem right now that the walls of Jericho, the walls that you are fighting, are insurmountable. But the Bible says, through our God, we shall do valiantly. Whatever you're facing, friend, you know that God has got a strategy to overcome that thing. So as you draw near to the Lord and you follow His strategy, He'll always show you what to do to overcome your situation, to overcome your temptation, to overcome the obstacles. It might be a massive wall like Jericho, and you think, in the natural, there's no way we could do this. But with God, all things are possible. And that's the first thing I want to encourage you with this morning. Whatever you're facing, God is able to help you fight that situation and bring those walls of opposition down. So trust in the Lord and be strong and be victorious, because God has always caused His people to triumph in victory. There we see in the Word of God that the Bible says that Jesus was crucified for our sins. There on the cross, He won the victory for you. He took all of our sin, He took all of our sickness, all of our diseases, He took all of our negativity there on the cross. And He has exchanged that by giving you righteousness. As a Christian, we can receive the righteousness of God, and we can go in and possess the land, as it were. Go and take possession of the things we need to take possession of. So God is wanting to bring victory in our lives. In fact, the Bible says that He always causes us to triumph in victory. But that means that we've got to face some battles. We've got to have some fights. There is going to be opposition. There is going to be difficulty. There's going to be warfare. And this is clearly seen in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 10, where he says, "Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places." Our fight, friends, is not against people anymore. Our fight is against the forces of evil, the forces of darkness, as the Bible says, that live in the heavenly realms. So our fight is an unseen battle. And so we have to be prepared for the fight. We have to be prepared for the battle that is in front of us. Sometimes it comes in the form of discouragement. Sometimes it comes in the form of disillusionment. Sometimes it comes in the form of temptation. It comes in many different ways to come and beat you down and discourage you and say, "You can't do this. You're not fit for the job. There's no way you're going to make it as a Christian. There's no way you're going to make it in life." But the Bible has got something very different to say. Now, I don't know if you remember, but God said He wanted to send the spies into the land of Canaan. Now, what happened was that one leader from each of the 12 tribes was chosen, 12 leaders in all, one for each of the tribes of Israel, was chosen to go into the land of Canaan and to spy out the land. So 12 of these men, these great leaders, went into the land of Canaan. They spied out the land, and then they came back to Moses, and this is what they said. So this is what most of them said. This is what 10 of them said. They said, "There's no way we could fight these guys. There are giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers. There is no way we could fight them. We are nothing before them. And we just look like grasshoppers to them." 10 out of 12. And then there was Joshua and Caleb. And they said, "Moses, we can certainly do this, for the Lord our God will give us this land. So they're in the minority. Joshua and Caleb are saying, you know, we can do this. It's possible. They were men of faith. They were men of vision. They were men who were strong and courageous. They weren't looking at the size of the giants. They were looking at the size of their God. And I want to ask you today, are you looking at the size of your problem, or are you looking at the size of your God? For the Bible says Jesus Christ fills the whole universe. That's right. Jesus Christ fills the whole universe. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Our God is for us. In fact, the Bible says the Lord will fight for you. On one occasion, when they went in to fight the Amorites, the Bible says the Lord opened up the heavens and allowed hailstones that were 100 pounds in weight to come and smash the giants. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? God fighting on your behalf means that you've got supernatural resources, supernatural energy to get the job done that God has for you to do. And so Joshua and Caleb were saying, we can do this, Moses. It's possible. In fact, we ought to go up and take the land. And the other 10 were saying, oh, no way. We're afraid. Those giants are going to kill us. We're going to get beaten. We're going to get beaten badly. We're going to get killed and our family's going to get... Moses, we can't do this. Well, who did Moses listen to? Moses listened to the men of faith. Joshua and Caleb were men of faith. In fact, the Bible says they were the only ones who entered into the land of Canaan. The others were wiped out. God saw to it because they didn't have faith. God saw to it that they did not enter into the land of Canaan. They did not go in and possess the land because they were afraid. They saw how big their problems were. They saw how big the giants were. They became fearful. And there's always a choice, friend, in our lives. There's always a choice in every situation, every battle that we face. We either become fearful or we become faithful. And it's important for us to remember, we respond to those two unseen, invisible things. How do you respond to the warfare you're in? How do you respond to the battles? Are you becoming fearful and say, there's no way we can do this. There's no way we're going to get through this coronavirus. There's no way that we're going to win this battle. Or are you somebody who's saying, we're going to persevere. We're going to fight through this and we're going to overcome this. You see, God is not into cowards. He's into people of faith. God actually despises cowards. And it speaks against them in the book of Revelation. But he honors people of faith. And so Joshua and Caleb were men of God and men of faith who said, we can definitely do this job. This is for us, Moses, and we ought to go in and take possession of the land. What camp are you in today, friend? Are you in the fearful camp of the majority who's saying, this can't be done? We can't do this. We can't overcome it. Or are you in the minority with Joshua and Caleb who said, we can certainly do this through our God. We shall do valiantly. So we have a choice to make. Do we become fearful and allow the fear to overcome us? And there are occasions where the Bible says that the people's hearts melted with fear. So are you going to allow fear to control your life and to melt your heart? Or are you going to allow faith to come in, which is going to make you strong and it's going to make you courageous? And going back to Ephesians 6, it says, be strong and courageous and put on the full armor of God. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God, because we're in a fight, we're in a warfare. So there's two camps, the fear camp and the faith camp. And God honors faith. You know, all the time we see God is honoring faith. Even Jesus, when he's on the earth, he's honoring people who've got faith. Even the Canaanite woman who says, please come and heal my daughter because she's been possessed by a demon. And please just heal her. And Jesus said, I've only come for the lost sheep of Israel. I've only just come for the Jews. I haven't come for the Gentiles. And she said this. She said, but Jesus, sometimes the dogs get the crumbs from the table. And Jesus was so blessed by that answer. She was saying, and most of the time the dogs get the crumbs from the table, But she's saying, let mercy come to me as well. Let mercy come to my house. Lord, let me get a little bit of your grace. Let me get a little bit of faith too. I know faith has come for the Jews. I know you've come to bless Israel. But Lord, I'm a Canaanite. I'm outside of the blessing of God. But would you just bless my life too? And you know, God honors that kind of faith. If you've got that kind of faith where Jesus says, Lord, just would you bless me too? Would you just give me some crumbs from your table? Who wants some crumbs from the table of the Lord? I want some crumbs. I want to feast on what God has for me and my life and my family and my situation. I want an abundance. And so God blessed the Canaanite woman. And the Bible says that the young girl was delivered from the demon. Jesus loves faith. You want to do something for God? You've got to step out in faith. The Bible constantly tells us, be strong and courageous and do the work. Friend, what camp are you going to be in? In the camp that is discouraged and fearful, or in the camp that is faithful? We have got to be strong. He says, you're not to be strong in your own strength. Because Joshua and Caleb said, we can certainly do this. With the help of God, we can overcome these battles. We can definitely do this job. And so the Bible says that we are to be strong in the Lord. The Bible promises in Psalm 29 that God is the strength of his people. Our strength comes from the Lord. Our strength comes from the Most High God. And constantly the Bible is telling us, Psalm 18, Psalm 27, the Lord is the strength of his people. Even if David says, if there's 10,000 people drawn up against to fight me on every side, he said, I will not fear because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the presence of my enemies, you're going to be right there with me, Lord. Even though you think that you're going to go under, friend, have faith and reach out to the hand of God. He will always lift you up. He will always encourage you. He will always be there. He will always offer you crumbs from the table. He will may even just offer you a feast from the table. You have to reach out to the Lord. I cried to the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all of my fears. What are you facing today, friend? That's too much for you. Is it a giant of fear? Is it a giant that's come into your life to discourage you, to say you're not going to get your job back or you're not going to have enough finance for the future? Our trust is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God answers prayers, friend. God wants us to be courageous. God answers our prayers. And when we put our faith in the Lord, God is going to do wonders. He's going to do miracles. And we see this in the life of Moses. He believes God, even though he says to the Lord, I can't even speak, I've got a stutter. Do you know what God said to him? Who made man's mouth? That's right. He had a stutter. Even though he was a mighty man, he had a stutter. But God used him anyway. God is going to use us in spite of our weaknesses. And we learn about the life of Daniel. And Daniel is right there in Babylon. And he's in a situation where he's thinking, you know, I've been exiled from my country, from Israel, and now in Babylon, I'm in the kingdom of Persia, and I'm here as a slave, but I've been chosen to work for the king. And he works his way up, and he's one of the leaders in the country now. And then the leaders of the day decide they're going to bring out a rule because they were jealous of Daniel. And King Darius had planned to put Daniel over the whole kingdom. And they found out about this and they realized if we don't get rid of this guy, he's going to rule over us. We don't want this Jew ruling over us. We don't want this Israelite taking our place. And so they planned to get rid of him. And they tried to find fault with him, but they couldn't find fault with him. And so they said, the only way we're going to find fault with him is regarding the law of his God. And so they set up a new law to say, nobody is to pray to you. Nobody is to pray to any God except to you, O King Darius. And this is a law of the Medes and Persians. And we're just going to have this law for 30 days. And if anybody is caught breaking this law, they're going to pay for it. They're going to be thrown into the lion's den. And you know, the king signed the declaration. He was reluctant to sign it because he knew it was going to affect Daniel. And he had a good relationship with Daniel, but he had to sign it. And he was in an awkward predicament. And so what happened was they realized that Daniel had disobeyed. And he had gone to pray. He had gone to seek God. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed. And he prayed to God. And the satraps came and they found him praying. And they brought him to the king. And they said, "This man has disobeyed you, O king." And you know what the Bible says? That the king was sad. And they threw Daniel into the lion's den. But you know what, friends? Nothing happened to him. The lions never touched him. In fact, the Bible says the Lord sent an angel and he closed the mouths of the lions. And the king came in the morning and he shouted out early in the morning. He didn't sleep all night. He said, Daniel, king of the servant of the Most High, God, has your God been able to save you? And he shouts back, "O king, I'm still alive." God kept him alive in that situation. Friends, because he had never done any harm to the king. Because he was a man of faith. And he was a man of prayer. You think about it. He was not afraid of that situation. Friends, whatever situation you're facing, you have to face it with faith and not fear. Fear is always trying to come in. Fear is always trying to come into your mind. Fear is sometimes what the majority are struggling with. They're fearful of going into the shops, they're fearful of going out, they're fearful of the virus, they're fearful of this enemy, that enemy. We cannot live in fear. God does not want us to live in fear. He says the righteous shall live by faith. Of course, we respect the virus, we don't be foolish, we wash our hands, we respect social distancing, we are careful with what we do, but we are walking by faith. We're walking in confidence, knowing that our God is going before us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So we have got to be strong, friends. And we have got to be courageous. And we have got to go into the land. And we've got to keep going and keep doing what God has called us to do. Are you afraid today? I want to say to you, fear is a spirit. And it tries to get hold of people and it tries to break them down. But God does not want us to be bound with fear. He wants us to have a confidence that comes from heaven. Now, such a person we see in the Bible as Samson. That's right. The Bible says that Samson was blessed of the Lord and God blessed him with the Holy Spirit. Now, Samson's particular anointing or his particular gifting was in supernatural physical strength. That's right. And the Bible says that his strength was in his hair. That's right. He had long hair and his hair was not to be cut all the days of his life. And so, as long as his hair remained long, he had physical strength. I don't think he necessarily had bigger muscles than the next guy. But God's power was on him. God's anointing was on him. There's a couple of verses that tell us here about Daniel, about Samson. And it tells us that Samson went down to Timnah with his parents because he wanted to see a young woman there that he liked. And he went down, even though she was a Philistine woman, and the Bible says that a young lion came out roaring to attack him. And this is what the Bible says, that Samson tore the lion apart with his bare hands. That's right, a lion with his bare hands. You see, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he overcame the lion. He ripped it apart with his physical hands. You cannot imagine that in the natural. You could not imagine a man defeating a lion when they are so powerful. But when God's anointing comes on you, you can do supernatural things. When God's power comes on you, you will do supernatural things. And this is what happened in Samson's life. Time and time again, the anointing or the presence of the Spirit of God came on him, and he did powerful physical acts. On another occasion, the Bible says that he picked up the jawbone of a donkey. Right? And he attacked the Philistines because God was showing his power against the Philistines because they were an ungodly people. And God showed his power through Samson and the jawbone of a donkey. And the Bible says he slew 1,000 men. That's right. 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. God can do great things. Supernatural things. Can you imagine some human being beating another 1,000 men just with the jawbone of an animal? It seems ridiculous, but God was trying to show his power to the Philistines. And we see on another occasion that Samson carries the gates of the city. He carries them 40 miles. That's incredible, isn't it? And that reminds me of another story of Elijah when the prophets of Baal had challenged him. And God turned up with fire and consumed the altar. And the people all bowed down and said, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God." And then Jezebel is now after Elijah. The Bible says that Elijah picked up his cloak and he ran. And I think he went to Jezreel and he ran and overtook the chariot. How could a man do such a thing? How could a man run faster than a horse? Through God's power, like David said, through our God, we shall do valiantly. People have done amazing things in the name of the Lord. People have been raised from the dead. People have received supernatural healings. God has done incredible things through his anointing. And the Bible tells us when the Holy Spirit comes upon people, they do incredible things. So we are not relying on our own strength. Our strength is in the Lord. That's why Ephesians 6:10 says that we are to be strong in the Lord, and in his mighty power we are to put on the full armor of God. Are you putting on the armor of God? Is your strength in the Lord? Are you still relying on your own strength? God gives strength to his people. He gives us power to do his work and to do his deeds. When we think of some of the mighty men that God has used, he has used them even though they have not been physically mighty. Or even though, I'm sure Elijah maybe was, he was probably quite an old prophet, but he could run faster than the chariot. But there are times when God does things in our lives that will amaze us. Well, he will do supernatural things for you. On one such occasion, we see this in the life of Jesus. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, Jesus went up on a mountainside to pray. Now listen, this is what happened. When he came down from the mountain, he chose the 12 apostles. He healed all the sick people. And this is what it says, that power was coming out of him and healing all the people. Isn't that incredible? Power was coming out of Jesus and just healing all the people. Power is still coming out of Jesus today, friends. And he wants to heal you of your affliction. He wants to heal you of your sickness. And I want to pray for everybody who is afflicted with sickness. And Father, I just pray right now that your power, the power of the Lord Jesus, will go through the airways and heal all the sick people. I pray in Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, that you will heal the sick, that you will raise the dead, that you will heal those who are afflicted. In Jesus' name, I speak healing, Father, to all afflicted, all tormented, and I pray your healing power will flow through these airwaves today. In Jesus' mighty name, bless all those who are sick. Heal all those. Let power come to them and heal them, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for healing them. Thank you, Father, for ministering your healing touch through this message this morning in the name of Jesus. And so everybody who was there just wanted to touch Jesus because power was coming out of Jesus. And in the Epistle of John, it says, you have received an anointing. Whenever King David, when he was just a shepherd boy, and Samuel wanted to anoint one of Jesse's sons, God had said to him, go and anoint one of Jesse's sons. And all seven brothers came. They were bigger and mightier than David. Remember, David is the runt of the family. He is the young one. He's the nobody. He's the useless one. No, is there any other brothers? No, there's nobody else except for, oh yeah, there's David, yeah, the runt. God uses runts. Amen. He uses the little insignificant people. David came forward. Is this the one? David is the one. Yeah, the most unlikely person God is going to use. The most insignificant person God is going to use. God specializes in using insignificant people. And so there we see that God chose David. He was the least. He was the most insignificant. The same with Gideon. He's the least in his family. He's from the least tribe. And God says, you are the one. Because God doesn't want us to boast, friends. He doesn't want us to boast in our great strength. He wants us to boast in his great power. He wants us to boast in his great strength. The Lord our God is mighty. He is mighty to save. Friend, he can save you. Whatever situation you're in, however bad your situation is, he can save you. Our God saves. Our God answers with fire. Our God can deliver the downhearted and the brokenhearted. Our God can deliver people. His power is sufficient. And our power sometimes is not enough. That's why God never designed you to be on your own. He designed you to be with him, receiving a fresh infilling. I just want to finish up soon now, because this other story of David tells us David was anointed with oil. With the precious oil was poured on his head, the perfumed oil. The priest Samuel poured the oil on his head, yeah, olive oil with the beautiful fragrances in it, and it poured down David's head, David's face, David's beard, all the way down his body, and he smelled beautiful because of the fragrance of that oil. And everybody knew he was the anointed of the Lord. Just like Jesus Christ, he was the anointed of the Lord. The Bible says you have received an anointing. Every Christian has received an anointing from God that teaches us the truth. We have received the anointing. And on one occasion, whenever David had gone out with some of the mighty men and some of the band of people that he was with, 600 men, and they had been living in Ziklag, when he came back to the city, came back to his town, he saw that the town had been burnt. I think it was the Amalekites had burnt his town, and they'd taken all his wives, taken all their children, taken all of their wives, taken everything. They'd taken everything, all the good stuff, they'd just taken it away. And when they got back to Ziklag, there was the town, the city was burnt to the ground. And all the people wept until they had no more strength. And then this is what the Bible says, that they wanted to stone David. They just wanted to stone him. Because they said, David, why has this terrible thing happened? You know, we always want to blame somebody, don't we? We always want to blame somebody for the bad situation we're in. And they wanted to stone David. But you know what the Bible says? David found strength in the Lord his God. You have got to find strength in the Lord your God. God has got any amount of strength for you. He is filled with power. He is filled with anointing. If you could just see heaven, if you could just see the power that is flowing out of the throne of God, if you could just see how much power, how much love, how much grace and power he has for you. As he said to the people on the day of Pentecost, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And that word can be used, martyr. You will be my martyrs. That's right. Some of the saints were martyred for their faith. You will be my witnesses. You'll be my martyrs. You'll be my followers. But you've nothing to be afraid of, because my power is on you. The Holy Spirit will come on you and you will prophesy. And so David found strength in the Lord his God. And they went and they pursued the enemy. They overtook them and they recovered everything. They recovered everything. Half an hour or half a day earlier, they're ready to stone David. How did it turn around? David found strength in the Lord. You've got to find strength in God for your situation. We all get tired. We all get weary. We all get discouraged or disillusioned at times. You've got to find strength in Jesus Christ. You've got to find strength in God in this season. You have got to find strength in God in this COVID-19 season. He is the strength of his people. He is the power of the church. The Holy Spirit gives strength to his people. He gives power so that you can get the job done. He gives us an anointing. He fills us with the fragrance of Christ. God will empower you to do great things, friend. We have got to receive the word of God. We've got to receive his strength. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's the picture of an eagle in Isaiah 40. We see that the eagle renews its strength. Its feathers begin to grow again. It begins to get new strength again. And it used to have strength, but now it's got weary and it's got tired. And isn't that a reflection for many of us and many people today? They got weary, they got discouraged along life's journey. Life takes a lot out of you. Life drains a lot of energy out of you. So you have to renew your strength. You have to come to the Lord and say, God, I need fresh strength. I need strength from heaven. The Bible says that there is strength and glory in the sanctuary. That's right. In the Psalms it says there is strength and glory in the sanctuary. That is, there is strength and glory in the presence of God. When you're feeling your weakest, when you're feeling tired and at your weakest, you can find strength from God. He will give you renewed strength. Most people say, I just need a holiday. That might be true, but you also need supernatural strength. The church was told by Jesus, don't go out and do anything until the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall receive power. The word is dunamis. It's a Greek word which means power. It means force. You will receive power to do the work of God. This is the same word, power, that Jesus, when he's coming down the mountain, that power was coming out of him and healing all the people. God is still healing people today. He hasn't stopped healing people. God is still reviving people. He's still healing people, reviving the church. Psalm 85, 6 says, will you not revive us again, O God? Will you not revive us? That we might fear you? Will you not quicken us again, O God, that we might acknowledge you? And we need to acknowledge God in this season, friends. Our world needs to acknowledge God is our only source of help. Our God is our helper. Our hope is in the Lord, as it says in the Psalms. You know, God is our refuge. God is our strength. Is your hope in the Lord? Put your trust in the Lord. Put your hope in Jesus. Our strength is in the Lord. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He knows how to infuse you with power. He knows how to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He knows how to renew your strength. The Bible says so that your strength will be renewed like an eagle's. You know, an eagle doesn't have to flap its wings all the time. It just lifts its wings up, is carried along by that beautiful wind, that current. It's carried along by that thermal of wind. And the other day I saw above my house, you know, these buzzards like eagles just flying on the thermals, and there was the seagulls. They were trying to attack it and annoy it, just trying to annoy it. But the buzzard was just not bothered. The buzzard wasn't bothered. You know, it was just soaring on the thermals. And that's how God wants you to be. He wants you to soar on the wings of his Spirit. It's not in your strength that you get things done. It's in the strength of the Lord. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to work. You know, God said to Solomon through David, he said, you've got to be strong and you've got to be courageous and you've got to do the work. God has got a great job for you to do. Jesus wasn't sitting at home just doing nothing. He was busy with the Father's work. He said, I have completed the work you've given me. Now I'm ready to go home. You see, we've got to do what God has called us to do. He's got a mighty work for you to do. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to use me and then not use you. He's going to use everybody who believes in him and has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to encourage you today, have faith in the Lord, believe in the Lord. God has got fresh power for you. He's got a fresh anointing. That's why he says in his word, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do whatever it is that God has called you to do. Be strong in the Lord. Be full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible constantly tells us, be full of the Holy Spirit by singing to the Lord. Interesting enough, one of the words for praise, or one of the words for strength, means praise. And when you begin to praise God, you're going to get new strength. And that is a word for somebody today. When you begin to praise God, you find new strength come into your life. When you begin to worship God, He's going to refresh you, and He's going to encourage you, and your wings are just going to come out again like that eagle, and you're going to soar, and you're going to renew your strength. You'll be filled with fresh fire, filled with the wind, the thermal of the Holy Spirit, and you will soar under the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants His church to be strengthened, to be encouraged, and to be empowered. Will you be part of the kingdom of God? Will you come in and be part of this great kingdom? Come and follow the Lord. It's exciting when we follow Jesus. It's incredible, the peace, the love, and the joy that He gives. And this final verse in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Receive fresh joy. Receive a fresh infilling. Will you come into the kingdom of God? Have all of your burdens taken away by Jesus. Will you come and serve the Lord with us? Will you say goodbye to your old life? Welcome your new life in Christ. God created you for Himself. God created you for worship. God created you to be in companionship and fellowship with Him. Stay with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Follow the Lord all the days of your life. You're going to see amazing things. And the best is yet to come. I know right now we're in this COVID season, but God has got some good things in store. So get ready for the good things that God is going to bring to you and to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You today for this word. Thank You for those who are listening. Father, I just pray that You will meet with each one of us in a special way today. Thank You for all who are listening, Father, online this morning, who are listening to this message. I pray You will bless the Word of God to us. I pray that You will refresh us, that You will encourage us, that, Lord, we'll be lifted up today, we'll be strengthened today, that You will go before us, Lord, and You will make our path straight. We welcome You, Lord Jesus, into our lives. We welcome Your presence into the church. We welcome Your presence into our world. Father, we thank You, for all good things are ours in Jesus Christ. God bless you in Jesus' name. Praise God. I just want to say to you this morning, if you'd like to give to the work that we're doing, and especially to the members of Chippenham Christian Fellowship, this is an opportunity for us to bring our gifts to the Lord. The Bible encourages us to bring our gifts to the Lord, to bring a thanksgiving, but also to bring our financial blessings to the Lord. And we thank God we have this privilege. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we want to bless the Lord. Our gifts go to the Lord. Our gifts go to Him and to His church. So we want to say thank you for your faithful giving. If you want to give through the online way, you can give through an app called the Gift app. And we have the QR code on our website, and you can download the Gift app, giv.t, and you can give through that method. So I just want to encourage you, have a look online at our website there. You'll see details there. G-I-F-T. Okay. So I just encourage you today just to give to the Lord. Let's just do that right now. Father, we bring our gifts into the house of the Lord. We pray for Your abundant blessing as we bring our gifts to You, Father. We thank You, Lord, that Your word says that we should bring our gifts to You. We do that right now, Father. We thank You, Father, that You receive these gifts, Lord. You receive these gifts. We honor You with our giving, Lord. We honor You with how You have blessed us, Lord. In Jesus' name.